tonight, we're covering the sixth item, and even the seventh item. I'll be sharing a message with Curtis. And how about if we all together read the title? Message 5, page 9. It'll look familiar.
We covered it this morning. We covered it last night. Can we read the title together? For message 5. Everyone have it? Ready? Go.
The church as the corporate warrior of God, with Christ as the constituents of the whole armor of God.
So we've been talking about seeing a spiritual warfare.
That's right.
But in the last two messages, with this third message, messages 3, 4, and 5, we also want to see something else. We want to see the provision that God has for us.
Amen.
Satan is attacking. He has his stratagems and schemes. But God has a way to deal with this. This is the armor of God. But first, I want to just reemphasize what was spoken, that this is not something we can bear by ourselves. I don't know if you have the thought that you're a single soldier now that we see there's a warfare and you need to just pick up an M16 and you need to be ready to fight. This is not the warfare that we're talking about. But actually, this is the warfare, this is the spiritual warfare of the church with Christ as the constituents of the whole armor of God. Because of this is the junior hires, right? I was with the high schoolers for part of this weekend. I was with y'all for part of the weekend. Do y'all know what the word constituents mean? It says Christ is the constituents of God's armor. What is a constituent? Does anybody know? Simply put, sure. Can you speak up? Yeah. A thing that makes something up. That's right, it's a part. These are components of a whole. You know, so these are pieces, actually.
Mark.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
It's okay? We're good. Okay, amen. So, the armor that we're talking about, we've got covered 5. We'll cover the 6th and 7th today. But we want to show and speak again that this is just aspects of Christ.
Amen.
Today specifically, we'll cover the matter of the Word of God.
Amen.
That this would be new to you, that the Bible would not just be a book of letters, and also the matter of prayer.
Amen.
But first, how about just for review, what are the 5 items that we've covered in order? Just speak them to me.
Breastplate.
Well, the first one, we have the girdle, right? Okay, what's another one?
Breastplate,
right? It covers our heart. Covers our conscience.
Do you want a better marker?
Sure. Thank you.
There's one for the body.
Thanks. What do you got?
Shoes.
We're at the shoes, right? We'll just say the shoes.
The shoes.
Okay. And what else?
Shield.
Right? We have the shield of faith.
Amen.
Helmet
of salvation, right?
Helmet and
sword. Yeah.
All right. And this is what I'll cover. I'll cover the sword.
Yeah.
So actually, the first 5 items are defensive. We need to actually progressive, but these are more for the defense, to protect ourselves. But now with the sword, this is actually the offense. But this is not towards your fellow brother or sister to attack them. But actually, this is for the enemy. And I want to bring out later, this is actually for the adversary within. Maybe you want to write this down. There's an enemy without, and there's an adversary within.
Spell it for me.
Sure.
Adversary.
Adversary is A-D-V-E-R, S-A-R-Y. Adversary. Right on the board. All right. So we have...
Good job, man.
Adversary. You see it okay? Enemy without, adversary within. And I'll get into this. A-D-V-E-R-S-A-R-Y. Adversary. Can we all start by reading? How about we can have the brothers read the first Roman numeral? And the sisters read the second Roman numeral. If you notice, these are the same two Roman numerals also from this morning. The brothers on the number on Roman numeral 1.
Ephesians 6:10-20 reveals that Christ is the constituent of God's armor for the church as the corporate warrior of God.
Sisters on 2.
Finally, be empowered in the Lord and in the might of His strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil.
All right, the second Roman numeral, I was just considering, do you know what the stratagems of the devil are? What the word stratagem means? Yeah. Well, maybe you can elaborate more instead of just using the same root word. Is there other synonyms, other definitions? Yeah. Yes. I wrote down a stratagem is the tactics, the maneuvers, the plan, the schemes. Satan has many ways, many different angles, many strategies in attacking us. That this is what we're standing against. And again, this is for a corporate warrior. Amen. But how can we apply this to us before I get into the sword? You just realize if you have the view, we're in this together.
Amen.
We're members one of another, and actually, how we apply this, even how we listen to this word, affects the person sitting next to me. You know, if you're in battle, and if you're in a troop platoon, and if, let's say, there were 10 people, well, let's say 3 of them weren't paying attention, and they were going to battle, you think that would be a good situation? But you got 7 that's like on guard, girded, ready. But you have to see that this is something that it affects us all. We're members of the church.
Yes.
And we're not just loving the Lord, being prepared as His bride, but at the same time, we're being prepared as His corporate warrior.
Amen.
So it's important. Now we'll get into, can we read Roman numeral 3 all together?
Receive the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
So now this talks about the sword of the Spirit. Which spirit is the word of God? And like I mentioned, this is an offensive weapon. We use it to attack. Okay? But actually, you can see plainly, it's saying this spirit is the word of God. So what's the word of God?
Bible.
It's the Bible, right?
Amen.
And I actually appreciate that we all had to bring our paper, physical Bible. There's something with reading the Bible in print. But I'll just read in letter A. Among the 6 items of God's armor, the sword of the Spirit is the only one for attacking the outward enemy and the inward adversary. With the sword, we cut the outward enemy and the subjective inward adversary to pieces. So we talked about Satan uses the flaming darts. He injects thoughts in our mind. And so we can see one way we can just say, go away, Satan. You know where that's from? That's from the Bible.
Amen.
This was spoken by the Lord. He was quoting even the Old Testament. He knew the Bible. And I feel like, firstly, we see that to receive this, we need to get into the Word. So as I mentioned before, we need to read our Bible.
Amen.
Consecutively, consistently, because later we'll see the way that God even speaks to us is Bible. His language, God's language, when He speaks to us, is Bible.
Amen.
But first, I'll just point to the first to account in Matthew 4. This was the Lord Jesus when He was a man. He was tempted by Satan. Three times. And you know what he said at the very end? Actually, I'll mention two of his responses. Actually, in all three responses, he said, "It is written." So even the Lord Jesus himself knew the Bible, knew the Word of God. But he says in Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God." We sang this tonight. The Word can be living. Okay, that's the emphasis. It can be living, operative. And then, when there was a third temptation, he said, "Go away, Satan."
Amen.
So bringing back to Satan's schemes and strategies, when he injects the random thoughts that just comes out of, you know, like the flaming arrow that goes over and it just lodges somewhere, just some random thought we never thought that's not of us, we can just reject it. Yeah. Right? So that's a way to deal with the outward enemy. We just say, "No, I'm not going to entertain this thought." Okay? But then now there's this matter of the inward adversary. So at least we can understand there's the outward enemy that's outside. Inward adversary, it's inside. But my question now, do you know where this inward adversary is? It's in us.
Amen.
It's in you and me. It's not just in the brother and sister next to you. But there's an enemy without and an adversary within. And so this is something also that we need to use the sword of the Spirit to deal with. And so, I'll continue reading and I'll go on. Christ as the Spirit and the Word furnishes us with a sword as an offensive weapon to defeat and slay the negative elements in our being. As we pray, read the Word, eventually the self, the worst foe of all, will be put to death. So within us, who we are before Christ, just even by our upbringing, you can say that's our self. And you would probably, you'd hear that the world today, we want to build up the self. Be yourself. Mm-hmm. Promote your individuality, your uniqueness. But actually, if you consider, if you have one person that does his own thing, you would eventually realize, even as you grow up more, the self is a most ugly thing. And this is something that expresses not God, even this expresses Satan. So this is the inward adversary that needs to also be dealt with. So with the Bible, it's spoken of as a two-edged sword. Can you imagine a sword that has a blade going out and a blade going in? So it's when we attack the enemy, when we say, "No, I'm not going to listen to the enemy's lies or his random thoughts that are contrary to God,"
right.
At the same time, there's a dealing within. And I'll give you an example. So we know that we've seen the three concentric circles. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Right? But in our soul is our mind, emotion, and will. We've talked about the strengthening of our will.
Yeah.
But even I want to touch the matter of our emotion. This is not just for the sisters, but brothers and sisters, in a sense, our thoughts toward one another. For example, so we've been here, today is Saturday, and we've had interactions with your cabin mates,
yeah.
your small group mates, the ones you eat with,
yeah.
And the ones you are in recreation with. There's a lot of interactions. So surely, you know, we've had conversations and we've had thoughts about people. I don't like this person because of the way he looked at me. Or I don't like this sister because of what they did on the field outside. Our very thoughts, if we let that fester, you know, eventually even our emotions, you know, we can kind of dislike someone. Even we could hate someone, you know. This is something that needs to be dealt with. Even our view towards one another. Because we talked previously, if the enemy attacks us, and even eventually he may put these thoughts that we're no good, we may want to even cause harm to ourselves, so we say no to that. But if the enemy can't do that, you know what else he'll do? He'll divide us. You know? There is just one body. There's just one church. But you realize, if the enemy can't harm us, attack us in that way, he'll try to divide us. Just even by our view towards one another. And this is something that we just, it needs to be slayed. It needs to be dealt with continuously. This isn't something just once for all. And so, with this matter of the Word as the Spirit. So first, you know, when I talk about the Word, you think of the Bible. You think about the verses you memorize. But actually, the Word, if we apply it in the proper way by prayer, it can become the Spirit.
Amen.
Even it becomes spirit and life.
Amen.
And I want to give an example of something very small that is it's very powerful. Have you all heard of penicillin?
Yeah.
Right? It was discovered almost a century ago. It was actually discovered accidentally. Right? But penicillin, or if you just consider any medicine, who's been sick before in your life? All of us, hopefully, right? What do? We had some medicine, right? We were given some small, I don't know whether it was chewable, swallowable, or a liquid, but something so small eventually made us better. This is the same with the Word. Something so small, one verse, a phrase of a verse. It's different than reading from your textbook or reading, you know, the news or reading whatever's on the internet. The Word is powerful.
Amen.
Amen.
It can become spirit and life if we apply it in the proper way. It can be the enemy that deals with the enemy outwardly and the adversary within.
Amen.
Right? So now how about we read C together.
When the Logos, the constant Word in the Bible, becomes the Rhema, the present, instant, living, and personal speaking of the Spirit to us, this Rhema is the Word that has us adversary to Jesus.
So there's two different words in point C. Can you circle the word Logos and circle the word Rhema? These are actually Greek words. And in the English language, it's just word. But there's a difference. One is the constant word in the Bible. One is the instant word. Here's an example. What I just wrote on this board is the Logos. It really can't change unless I erase it and write new words, right? But the word that I'm speaking to you, that can be considered Rhema. Because I'm speaking it and it changes. I'm not reading off a script. It's not something I memorized. But I'm speaking to you. Now here's the amazing thing with the Word of God. What's written in the Word, in the Bible, can be God's instant speaking to us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It can be fresh and new to us. You consider the Bible, you know, when they make lists of like the most widely read, most widely published books. You know, you have all these like series of all these other books that they consider in the top 10. They don't even consider the Bible because it's already so widely read, widely published. So it stood the test of time. But the Word in this book, the Word of God, can be fresh and new to us every single time we read it.
Amen.
So this is kind of the key or kind of the burden that we want to see this sword. Don't imagine like a physical sword, a saber or something. But this is the Word of God.
Amen.
That can be new to us.
Amen.
And even first, the Lord may speak to us. I said earlier, when the Lord speaks to us, when we want to hear God speaking, the language that He uses is the Bible. God speaks Bible.
Amen.
It's not an audible voice out of heaven. You know, that was very rare for Saul of Tarsus, but God speaks in the Son and in the Word.
Amen.
So for us to be able to apply this sword, for us to hear God speaking, we need to know the Bible.
Amen.
So young people, we need to read the Word.
Amen.
And then now we need to see that there's this word to convert Logos into Rhema. The constant word, what's like written down, you can think of it in that way too. The instant speaking from God. There's this matter of pray reading. Okay, so I'll read D. The more we take in the Word with its killing power, the more our pride and all the negative elements within us are put to death. by pray reading. Amen. Underline that. By pray reading, the inward adversary is slain. You know, there's one way you can take the word. You study it, you memorize it. And unfortunately, there are ones that they know the word. There are people who know the word. And in a sense, metaphorically, they bash people with the Bible. They're like, Chad, you know what the Bible says? You should do this. You should not do that. That's not the slaying that we're talking about. When we read the word and we get it into us, this actually first slays us. Oh Lord, I'm so short. Oh Lord, I need to be protected. My conscience, I need to confess. This is first applying towards us. Directly, and this, in a sense, deals with the enemy indirectly. But with the matter of prayer reading, I don't know if y'all have heard this word before. In verse 18, which Curtis will develop, there, it says, by means of all prayer. I mean, in the meetings, you may have seen this. There may have been one form of prayer reading. It's really to take the word, you repeat phrases, and that's good. And you get spirit and life. But that's not the only way. Don't get hung up that if we just repeat the words in a loud way and in a corporate way, that's not the only way to touch the word.
Yeah.
I would say two ways that's been very helpful for me in prayer reading. When we read the Bible, one, we thank read it.
Yeah.
You know, like when we were reading yesterday, when we were memorizing verses 14 through 17, we can thank the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, for example, it says, verse 17, and receive the helmet of salvation. We can say, thank you, Lord. I can receive the helmet of salvation.
Amen.
And the sword of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
We can thank the Lord at all times.
Yes. Amen.
And a second way, we can personalize the word. This has been a help to me.
Yes.
You just realize, okay, in Ephesians 5, the Lord is sanctifying her. This is the church. Cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word.
Amen.
You can say, Lord, wash me in your word.
Yes.
You're washing the church. You're cleansing her. I want to be cleansed.
Yes.
This is just an example. These are not the specific words you need to take. But I just want to emphasize, there are ways, many ways, by all prayer.
Yes.
There's singing. There's declaring. You know, there's so many ways. We can get the word. If we first read it, that's probably the top way first. Basically, we read the word. And then eventually we can pray the word.
Amen.
And then this word can deal with the enemy.
Yes.
And this is what the Lord is after. So I'll finish with reading E. In Ephesians 5, the word is the nourishment that leads to the beautifying of the bride. But if in Ephesians 6, we've been covering Ephesians 6 today and yesterday, the word is for killing that enables the church to engage in spiritual warfare. I hope we would have a further appreciation of this word, that it can become rhema to us, and even this can be what defeats the enemy.
Amen.
Kills the enemy without and the adversary within.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Your word enlivens.
Your word enlivens. Your words are spirit, your words are life.
I don't know if you all know this, but that whole song is just made up of verses from the Bible. It comes from the book of John, comes from the book of Job, comes from the book of Psalms, right? So actually, whenever you sing that song, you're enjoying the word.
Amen.
Right? And as Mark said, that's a way of prayer. By all means of prayer.
Amen.
Right, so how about we start? We'll read, or I should say continue, with Roman numeral 4. Okay? Ready, go.
By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this, in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints.
Amen. Let's all read by means of all prayer again and emphasize all, okay?
By means of all prayer.
And then we'll just stop there. And then this time we'll say by means of all prayer. All right?
By means of all prayer.
Right? Anyways, I just want to emphasize those words. All in prayer. Maybe tonight we'll have a new thought a little bit about what it means to pray, what it means to touch the Lord, what it means to contact the Lord, what it means to enjoy the Lord, maybe even what it means to experience Christ, right? To enjoy Christ. So, and all of this is in light of the armor that we've been talking about. And so what's wonderful is that it says in point A, it says, prayer may be considered the seventh item of the armor of God. Because it is the means by which we apply the other items. Right? So it's, say you have these items. We have the six items. Right? Let's just name them real quick. One, girdle. Two, breastplate. Three, shoes. Four, shield. Five,
helmet.
Six,
sword.
So you have all these things. But you know what? Maybe they're just sitting in your closet. Right? They're not being put to use. You're not applying them. You're like, what do I do with all these things? The key here, and if you look at the progression of the verses, actually in those, all the items that are mentioned, it's actually only in two sentences. But if you look at the sentences, they really run together. You know? The first one, stand therefore. And then the next verse says, and. Right? And. And then the next one, besides all these. And then the next verse, and receive. Right? They're continuing. And then verse 18, what we're focusing on, it says, by all means. So it includes all six items. It says, by all means of prayer and petition. Right? So there's many different ways. And so, anyways, I would like to just start with giving you a couple definitions of some of these words in this Roman numeral, which is just a verse. Okay? So, for prayer. Okay? Or let's actually start with means. By means of all prayer. Means, you could use another word, you could say by. You could think of it as a way. Whatever way. However you can do it. So a means is a way. Right? So any way that you can. Any way of praying. Any way of petitioning. Okay? And then of all prayer. A little definition. This helped me. Prayer. It just means to contact and absorb God.
Amen.
Okay? Let's all say that. To contact and absorb God. Zach.
Yes.
What does it mean to pray?
To contact and absorb God.
That's right. It means just to contact and absorb God. I think a lot of us maybe have different ways that we like to contact and absorb God. And if you have many different ways, I bet if we surveyed everyone in the room, we probably have different ideas. And you can say, these are considered ways of prayer. Right? As long as we're contacting and absorbing God.
Amen.
And then it says, and petition. What does petition mean? Do you know what, you ever heard this word, petition? What does it mean? What does it mean, Ian?
Pray for them.
Pray for them. Yeah. Right. You know. But even more, it says to pray in a particular or a specific way. Right? This isn't our emphasis tonight. But it's a way of earnest. Or there's like a strong, intense feeling. Like, oh, you really want something. You know. My parents. There's four of us in our family. And I'm the youngest of four. And you know what? I really believe that they petitioned before the Lord that we would grow up to love the Lord.
Amen.
Right? There was an intense feeling within them. You could say even a fighting spirit. Right? As they prayed, they didn't just, oh Lord. You know? And we're going to focus on the prayer, but even to realize, sometimes we need to petition. Lord! Lord, save my friend!
Amen.
Save my mom! Save my dad!
Amen.
Save them from this situation!
Amen.
There's kind of an intense feeling about it. Okay. One more word. Two more words. Watching. Watching. And then I'm going to tie these together. Watching. What the word watching means here, and we have to think of it in a way of warfare. And I want to read you a passage just after this. But to watch is to be awake, right? You can't watch if you're not awake. So the Lord needs us to be awake.
Amen.
Actually, in Ephesians 5, He says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. Right? He wants us to wake up.
Amen.
And when we're awake, which I hope all of you are right now, not just physically, but even I have your attention, right? That when we're awake, it means we're watching.
Amen.
We're on alert. Amen. And you know, if you have a group of people and it's someone's turn, you know, everyone's sleeping in the army, you have a little squadron. And they take turns being awake. And they call it being on watch. Okay? So everybody else is allowed to sleep. Right? They're allowed to rest. And they do it in shifts. But then there's one person at least. And they're on watch. But you know what happens sometimes? They fall asleep. That is bad news. Right? So the Lord is saying here, we need to be on watch. And this is in relation to our prayer.
Amen.
Right? That even we would be alert. Lord, am I praying? Am I praying enough? Lord, what can I pray for? You know, because the enemy, it says, actually, he's like a lion seeking to devour us. So we need to be watchful. You know, where is he? He's got these tactics, these maneuvers. He's always looking to get in. Right? So we need to be watchful. And the way that we watch is through our prayer.
Amen.
And so one more word, perseverance. Perseverance. I really like this word. It's awesome. So perseverance. It says, a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Right? So, I'm not going to have you guys do it, but I want you to picture this. Okay, my goal is to get through that door. Right? Is there an obstacle in front of me if I just want to go straight through that door?
No.
There's about 50 of them. There's about 50 obstacles. Right? You know? So what I would have to do is, you know, if I try and go and here, push me back a little bit, right? Oh, there's some opposition. Oh, I give up, right? Sometimes I would say I'm like that. You know, I try and pray. Maybe I'm tired and I'm like, oh, I'll pray tomorrow, right? But what the Lord is saying here is with perseverance, we need to be watchful, right? And so I come through and try to push me, right? But eventually I get through, right? So I keep pushing, and I push, and then I got to get to the next row, right? You got to be persistent, or it means you need to push, despite the opposition, despite the failure, despite the heavy eyelids, right? The Lord wants us to push, but not just one time, but to persevere means to be consistent, continual, daily. Even in the Bible it says to unceasingly pray. Maybe I've prayed for like 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, but unceasingly, without stop, man, that's hard, right? Lord, one day, may this be my experience. But the Lord desires is that we would persevere. So what we realize is if we just think there's only one way to pray, or there's only one way to pray, right? Man, that would be hard. That would, maybe we kind of get old, you know? But for me, I mean, I think some of you can tell, probably by my voice, I love to sing, right? You know, you guys ever heard the phrase, sing like nobody's watching? Right? I live with 12 other guys. I think sometimes they hear me, right? I like to go into the basement. I live in a 3-story apartment. And I go to the basement. And I like to sing, right? And I like to sing off key. I like to sing loud because it helps me to touch my spirit.
Amen.
It helps me to persevere.
Amen.
Right? It helps me to stay watchful. Right? And so what we see here is that what the Lord has designed. Whatever it takes.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Whatever it takes for me to get through that door. Maybe I got to climb over some guys. Maybe I got to push them out of the way. Maybe I got to crawl under a chair or carry a couple through. The Lord just cares that whatever it takes. By any means of prayer.
Amen.
Right? However you want to contact me.
Amen.
However you want to absorb me.
Amen.
I just want you to touch me.
Amen.
Right? Whatever works for you. And so sometimes we do things together. Right? Singing really helps us. But sometimes personally, there's things that we like to do. For me, I love to call on the Lord. Or even more, I like to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? I lose my voice now and then, even on my own. I like to praise the Lord. It just helps me. I'm not saying you have to do this, but I'm saying this is my experience.
Amen.
right? By any means. You know, when I went to school for a couple years, there was a freeway right next to my school, right? And so what they would say is they say sometimes go up to the fence near the freeway and just call on the Lord. Praise the Lord, because no one can hear you. You know, the cars, maybe someone will have their window down and get saved. You know, who knows? But the thing was, it was like I just was doing whatever it took to touch my spirit.
Amen.
I was doing whatever it took to contact the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Okay. So I appreciate there's another phrase, a sentence that I read. It says, a Christian must be a praying person.
Amen.
Wow, let's write that down. A Christian must be a praying person. Right? And it says, if we would pray at every time, our will must be strong. Right? A person with a will like a jellyfish cannot pray. Right? It may seem that prayer is easy, but actually it is difficult. It is easy to talk. It's easy even to read. But it's not easy to pray. And this is why prayer requires the exercise of our will. Right? So we know the battleground is our mind. Right? Satan's always trying to distract us. But the thing is, our will. We're not exercising our willpower. We're exercising our will to choose.
Amen.
Right? When I go to bed sometimes, do I choose to just put my phone on my desk and lay down and go to sleep? Or do I choose, I'm just going to catch the highlights of the Celtics game. Right? And then I'll go to sleep. Or, maybe I'll just see what happened in free agency with the NFL. Right? Or, did you guys catch the new Lion King trailer? You know, right? Maybe I'll just say, it's only like 2 or 3 minutes each. It's not that long, right? Oh, and then, the new Avengers, right? 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 You know what just happened? That's 10 minutes right there. Each of those is about 2.5 to 3 minutes. I know this very well, okay? I know this very well. That's about 2.5 minutes each. That's 4 videos. That's 10 minutes. When I could have been touching the Lord, you know. But then we look back, oh, I don't have time in the day. Did I really have to watch those 4 videos? Did I really have to do that? It probably would have been more profitable just to go to sleep. You know, I had just finished reading my Bible. Why didn't I just go to bed? Right? I wasn't watchful. I wasn't exercising my will. And so, you know, actually, in the book of Matthew, and it's mentioned a couple times, the Lord Jesus, Matthew 26, just before he was about to go and be crucified, he went to this garden, and he took 3 of the disciples with him, and he went, and he asked them to watch and to pray, right? And so what he did is he left them, and he went to pray, and he was praying to the Father. And you know what happened? He came back. And what were they doing? They were sleeping. Is that the end of the story?
No.
You know what he did? He woke them up and he encouraged them again, watch and pray. And then he goes away and he's pouring his heart out to the Father. Even, you know, tears. He was in angst. He's about to go to be crucified. And your 3 buddies, for the last 3.5 years, can't stay awake. So he comes back again. And what are they doing?
Sleeping.
They're sleeping. You know what he does? Again, he wakes them up. Right? And he goes away again. And he comes back. What are they doing?
Sleeping again.
They need to exercise their will. Because you know what? What we have to realize this whole week, this is all in the context of a warfare.
Yes.
You know what Satan fears? He doesn't fear a Christian. He fears a praying Christian.
Amen.
Right? Raise your hand if you're a believer, if you're a Christian. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But you know what? If we're not a praying Christian, and I'm speaking to myself, okay? I told you guys, anyways, I could go on and on about my failures. If I'm not a praying Christian, if I'm not one that's learning to pray by praying, I'm like Switzerland. And I'm in that neutral zone. And you know what I think? Oh, I'm not doing anything bad. Right? I'm just checking some scores. You know, just different things. But you know what that is? Actually, that's giving ground to the enemy. You know? It's giving ground to him to come in and do what he wants. When really I need to be exercising my will. Lord, even just for 2 minutes, You know, my roommate and I, what we did is we made a list of names. And we kept it up for about a month. And we come together for about 10 minutes every night, and we would just pray for the names. Sometimes we'd just say, "Oh Lord Jesus, Jeff. Oh Lord Jesus, Courtney and Roy. Oh Lord Jesus, Josiah and Olivia." These are some of my siblings and nieces and nephews. Oh. Right? And this is what we would do. Nothing big. But I remember, man, it was awesome. Some of the prayers that got answered. But then eventually, Curtis got tired. Curtis fell asleep. Right? It was good while it lasted. But my will, I realized, it needs to be strengthened.
Amen.
Even the first verse we read in Ephesians of 6:10 says, "Be empowered." Amen. The Lord, He wants to empower us.
Amen.
He's not saying, "Michael, you got to do it all by yourself." But what He says is, "Be empowered."
Amen.
He's saying, "I want to empower you."
Amen.
To do this. Don't do it on your own. I want to empower you, Preston, to pray.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Okay. So, it says, prayer is the unique way to apply Christ as the armor of God. It is prayer that makes the armor available to us in a practical way. Okay, we're going to try and do this quickly. I'm going to ask my friend Sebastian to come up here. All right. Come on, Sebastian. Okay. All right, Sammy. You guys come up together. I need you guys. Quick. We don't have a lot of time. All right, Jandel. I need someone smaller.
Wait, am I smaller?
Here we go. All right. All right, let's stand up here.
Stand on the chair.
Okay. So, I want to impress you all that prayer is the unique way to apply the armor. Okay? So, what we have to realize here is this weekend, as we've picked up some items, right? Alright? Alright. Okay. Listen up. We don't have a lot of time. Okay. So, the thing is, here we go. Michael, here's the armor. Why don't you hold that? Okay. That's what it could be like this weekend. If we don't learn how to apply it, it's like, here you guys go. You're like, what am I supposed to do with this? Right? But we want to realize prayer is the application.
Amen.
Okay? Prayer is the application. Let's all say that. Prayer is the application. Amen. Okay. We're not done. Okay. So what's the first item? It's the girdle, right? It's the girding our loins with truth, right? So, okay. Right? So you know what he did this morning? He read the word, but also he prayed over the word. And so what the girdle is actually, it's our living of Christ.
Amen.
If we come to the word and we learn to eat it, Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found and I ate them."
Amen.
It doesn't say your verses. It doesn't say your sentences or chapters. It says your words. Amen. If you come to the Bible and find one word that you like, that can become your prayer.
Amen.
It's a single word, right? "I am the bread of life."
Amen.
It's in the book. It's in John chapter 6. You could just say, "I like the word bread. Lord, be my food."
Amen.
This is what it could mean to pray. This is by all means.
Amen.
Amen. Bread.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus is bread.
Amen.
Jesus is my food.
Amen.
Right? This is His fuel for the day. Okay, gotta keep going. The second item. What's the second item?
Breastplate.
The breastplate. Okay. This is the breastplate. You gotta hold it. You gotta hold it up. All right. Okay. What's the breastplate for? Your heart. Your conscience. How do we apply, or what does it mean to have the breastplate of righteousness? What we do is actually, we talked about last night, confessing our sins. Right? And so I think sometimes though, it's exercising our conscience. And so sometimes we're doing something, the Lord may touch us. Hey, maybe you shouldn't be saying that. And that's very good, and we need to apply the blood.
Right?
Maybe You slammed the door as you got out of the car because you were kind of annoyed at your mom as you were going to school. Right? I've done that. Or you even leave the house angry. Your mom says bye and you don't say anything. Right? Is that okay?
No.
Right? So what we do is we, Lord, I'm sorry, and we go and we apologize. But the thing is, also, as we learn to pray and touch the Lord, even we don't just have to wait for these kind of random times. But because we're in more fellowship with the Lord,
Amen.
He has opportunity to touch us on more things.
Amen.
Right? And the thing is, we shouldn't be afraid, but the Lord will supply us.
Amen.
We should never be afraid of the Lord shining.
Amen.
Okay? So what's the next item?
Shoes.
Shoes. All right. I'm going to put the shoes on. There we go. Just stand on it. All right. We'll take one. So his feet are shod, right? He has the shoes on. What this means is that he's standing in peace, right? If this is what Christ accomplished on the cross.
Amen.
When we're enjoying Christ, we're enjoying peace.
Amen.
Right? If he's not able to stand, if he's not in a peaceful situation, but if he's enjoying Christ, he's enjoying peace.
Amen.
It's easy to stand. Isn't it easy to stand here? Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, what's the fourth item?
Shield.
The shield of faith. Here, put it there. There we go. Okay, actually that's something that's awesome. Is in the olden times, actually the shield, it's not like a Captain America shield. But actually the shield was about as big as I am. Because it was meant to cover your whole body. That you could hide behind it. Not just to protect my face, but to cover your whole body. And you know what? Actually, our shield can grow.
Amen.
Our shield of faith can grow.
Amen.
And so once again, this involves the exercising of our will.
Amen.
And a good way to enjoy faith, to experience the shield of faith, is to speak the truth.
Amen.
Okay? And I want to say, state the facts. Let's all say that. State the facts.
Amen.
Right?
State the facts.
State the facts. You know what this means? Is that sometimes we can't stand by what we feel.
Right?
I think we sang a song earlier in the week. Not by what we feel. So what we do is we're exercising our will to choose our spirit. To choose the word. Even, you know what I had to do for a while? Just to help myself? Is I would leave the Bible open on my desk. Because sometimes I didn't even have the willpower to open up the Bible. But I would leave my Bible open on my desk. So when I would come home, maybe I would catch one verse. And you know what I could do? Is I could just read it and I could speak it. Right? Christ lives in me!
Amen.
Right? Maybe you just feel dead. You know? But you know what you can do? Is you can state the facts. We can speak faith. Not just into others, but into ourselves. Right? So as we state the facts, go to a verse. The Bible is a book of promises. Pick any verse, and if you speak it in a way that you believe, who here believes in the Bible?
Amen.
Right? The Bible is a book of faith.
Amen.
If we take any word, any verse from the Bible, and we speak it, this is like our shield. This will guard us from the enemy when an attack. Actually, there was a version of the Bible as reading Amplified. It said, instead of the word flaming darts, you know what it said? Flaming missiles. We use the word missiles. It's like they're seeking us out. But as we speak the word, as we speak faith, not just into others, into ourselves. This protects us. Okay. Fifth item. What's the fifth item? The helmet. Right? Okay. You know what the helmet does? And not only the shield, imagine it would protect his whole body, but actually it's a second layer, and it protects him from the top. Because the archers, they're shooting the arrows up over the wall. It's not straight on all the time. But like Mark said, there's tactics, maneuvers, all different angles. And so you know what our helmet of salvation is? It's the Christ that we experience.
Amen.
Right? And a good way is just through the Word. It's through our contacting the Lord through the Word. Right? Okay. And lastly, what's the last one?
The sword.
The sword of the Spirit. Right? How do we receive this one? How do we receive this?
Prayer.
By prayer!
Amen.
How do we receive this?
By prayer!
Actually, I'd say, by means of all prayer. Right? By means of all prayer, especially over the word. Okay, so now you're sitting here and it looks like he's ready to go lay the smack down on someone, right? But you know what? Remember this, and Mark brought it up. We're not individual soldiers. We're soldiers in an army.
Amen.
Right? You know what a soldier by himself is called? Yeah. Or Rambo. Right? There's no Rambos in the church. Right? The first phrase of this title, it says the church.
Amen.
As the corporate warrior. It doesn't say Michael as Rambo, the warrior. But what it says is the church as the corporate warrior. Okay. Your helmet. It says helmet. Okay. I'm just going to finish up with this. Anyways, sorry. It's a lot. But I hope that you all just kind of finish with this. Is that all these items, maybe we would have the opportunity. And I would say now, yes, we're young. And I hope that at least we would pick up the facts. Right? You know, in reading the word, we don't always get big revelation or a gigantic experience in reading the word. But you know what? Like Mark said, in order to get the rhema, the living word, you have to have the logos first.
Amen.
You have to have the facts first.
Amen.
And we get the facts by reading the word.
Amen.
It's about building a habit, right? Just building a habit of reading the word. Not doing anything too much. But I would say this. Setting a time to read the word and setting a time to pray.
Amen.
This is what it means to be watchful. And there's some verses in Isaiah 62. I'll just read them to you very briefly. It says, "Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen." That's you guys, your watchmen. "All day and all night, they will never keep silent.
Amen.
You who remind Jehovah, do not be quiet.
Amen.
And do not give Jehovah quiet.
Amen.
Until he establishes and until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth."
Amen.
So you know what? Jehovah God does not only remind us, but actually this shows that he needs our prayer.
Amen.
Because we need to remind him.
Amen.
Right? It says don't give him quiet. When we're praying in this way, in a persevering way, we're reminding God, "God, I want your kingdom to come. God, I want to defeat your enemy with you.
Amen.
God, I want to defeat your... I want to be your bride and defeat Satan.
Amen.
I want to tear down his kingdom."
Amen.
Right? So what this shows is that even God needs our prayers. He needs them. He can't live without them. He can't do what he wants without them. Okay? So, just to end with this, is that this week, all these items, they're just Christ. They're experiences of Christ. But they're not just for me as an individual. Yes, we experience them, but we experience them for the church.
Amen.
So that one day, Sammy and I are lined up next to each other, right? And we're fighting the enemy. We're in a prayer meeting together.
Amen.
That's our fighting the enemy.
Amen.
Or you know what? This summer at Summer School of Truth,
amen,
we're going to fight the enemy some more.
Amen.
Right? So, just, I hope maybe in our cabin times we could talk a little bit. Ask your servant, how do you pray? How do you touch the Lord? You know, just have some of these questions. We don't have time to get into all of it. But, and then maybe, because I just need to stop, is even to read some of the points in the outline. And I think especially point D is quite striking. How it says, even the course of the world is away from God. And I would just say, put this verse down. Daniel 6:10. Can you write down Daniel 6:10? Just a reference, and look it up. But it talks about the world is going one way, but it speaks where Daniel was facing toward. Right? It says he was praying toward Jerusalem. So maybe if you have time, you can get into this. So, anyways, whatever it takes,
amen,
by all means of prayer,
amen,
watching,
amen,
right, and all perseverance,
amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray with your neighbor for a minute.
Amen.
And then we'll have some sharing from the young people.
Amen. Amen.